I'm Ellen, and you're listening to The Curvy Pod. My mission is to share conversations with entrepreneurial-spirited women and discuss how they break through barriers to live above the curve and create meaning in their life. We have Lee Padgett here from Busted in Detroit and Busted in Chicago.
That's right. Busted Bra Shop, both in Chicago and Detroit.
We're super excited because she's a female entrepreneur helping women every day. Probably bringing them to tears because they're so happy. I mean, it's an
incredible—it's
an incredible thing that you do. And we are here with our co-host Nama Laufer. So, give us a little of your background for the audience of the Curvy Pod.
Well, I'm old, so I have a very long background.
That is old. I mean, that's just old. Do you know the average age of an entrepreneur? I think is about 45.
That's great.
As it should be. We need experience.
You need life lessons.
How do you make something great without experience?
Yeah. And how do you realize it's all going to be really going to be okay? I was an actress for a long time, an actress and a singer, and then I went to the military at 21 and did a little stint in the Navy, had a very good time, was in an accident, so I'm technically a disabled vet, member of the DAV from Wilmington, North Carolina. And let's see, I have a degree in chemistry, so I'm very analytical.
God,
I love numbers.
So cool.
Love numbers. Numbers are the best. They don't lie to you. They're very comforting.
It's true. It's a great language.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm having one of those days where I just have to get my mind right, I go through pi.
Oh, yeah. I taught my daughter how to remember pi by creating a story. Three people walk into one house.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh,
right?
Oh, that's good.
There's
four
pictures on the wall. You know, like we just tell a story so that way she can remember what pie is and you don't have to say
that's
like,
a great idea.
You know, if you remember the story,
mm-hmm. That's easy,
then
that's
you'll remember
great.
The number.
And I had a coffee shop in the early 2000s in downtown Detroit, which was really, really fantastic. I met the most amazing group of people. I got to know the artists, I got to know the back alleys, I got to know, you know, people who needed help, people who wanted to help us. You know, it was just a great melting pot of humans. Melting pot coffee shop. So that was fun. And I got my feet wet in the ways of running my own life and running other people's lives, sort of, with employees. And that was all very interesting. I'm still good friends with some of those employees and keeping up with them because they've become a family. We realized women didn't have a place to buy bras at that point. We had women of all different walks of life, different stations in the economy. That, you know, they were. You imagined how different these women were that would come in. They were different, and most of them said, "I just can't buy a bra any place. I have to go drive 30 to 45 minutes each way to go out, and then for someone to say, 'I'm sorry, we can't fit you.'"
Yeah,
and that's so uncool.
So devastating.
And, you know, then people were saying, buying stuff off the internet is horrific. It's not going to fit, and then I can't send it back, and it takes forever. And so we figured we'd just do our own bra shop and make people happy and employ some people. And I thought for a while, this will be a lot of fun for me. I love to make a good lemonade stand, you know? This will be great. And then it very, very quickly became something that people were coming up, you need employees and I'm going to work for you. I'm not kidding. It wasn't, hi, do you have a job? It's, you really need employees and I'm going to be your employee.
That's amazing. Well, because most people have a really difficult time finding people who want to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some of the things that actually destroy a store is that they can't find fitters.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing is that you, by having a coffee shop and already creating a network, people already know you. You're a part of the community, and they want to see that succeed because they see that you're taking an idea that they keep coming to you with and say.
And there was something good.
Yeah.
You know, I think that people, you know, the idea of positive attracts positive.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to be around, or probably still do, wanted and want to be around something that is a positive change.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have met my employees. I bring them up one or two at a time for the different shows so they can understand that I'm just not up here playing. But they can also meet you guys and see where all of the magic comes from, where all the ideas come from. Why are you doing what you do? That's important for them to have your story, too.
Absolutely. It helps, you know, if you know the background about why was this garment created, or, you know, why does it exist, and what problems does it solve?
And why so many different companies? Why so many different vendors? And they get to see all the different models with them on properly, which is delightful.
Yeah.
And then the stuff that I don't pick, you know, why didn't I pick such and such a line? Well, because it doesn't fit my mission in the city of Detroit or Chicago at this point, or the rest of the country.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Expansion.
Why not, right?
Yeah. So was it an overnight kind of leap, or was it a slow build to, okay, I'm going to, I see this down the pike and I'm going to build towards it?
I mean, you always have to build towards it, but I leapt as quickly as I could and joined a thing called the Hatch Detroit Contest. There was a group of people that said, okay, we're going to have a contest for $50,000 every year. An entrepreneur can get that money. I said, I'll join that contest. So we didn't live in Detroit anymore. We lived at the beach in North Carolina. And I woke my husband up and said, we're going to go do the Hatch Contest, and we're opening a store called Busted. And he told me to go to sleep. Well, I called a real estate agent, and we sold the house, and he talked to he works for a big company, and they said, sure, you can go live wherever you want in the United States, and you can just work out of your office. So we chose Detroit, and they moved us up there, which was crazy. I'm like, they didn't have to, but thank you.
Yeah.
And I joined the Hatch Contest, and I got a logo going. I paid somebody to draw. I drew this thing out, and I was like, can you put that in vector? And sure, they did it, and I joined this contest, and I did not win.
But it gave you all the impetus, like that moment, to just be like, we're going.
It did.
That's amazing.
It did. And then, you know, you put yourself out there, then you have to do it because somebody else is going to, because it's a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
And so a couple people said, you want to borrow a little cash from me? So I had this tiny little sum of money, and I stretched it as far as I could, and I bought bras. And then we sold those bras because people found out about us. I had a tiny little 200-square-foot office, and I took the boxes that the bras came in and turned them upside down, put some pleather on top of it to make my counters.
Right.
I put a pretty table in the middle, and I invited those people in for a fitting. And they kept coming. So the landlord said, I have this storage area in the back of the building with no windows. I can carpet that for you. And it's got some little rooms. I'll cut some doors in it for you. And he didn't charge me anything to do that.
Oh my God.
So, but I see all these women coming in, and I have a wife and daughters who need bras too.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay. And he charged me a fair price. And so I moved in there, and I've been there for 5 years.
Amazing.
It's amazing. I just got the goosebumps.
Yeah.
Well, I filled it up with wonderful things, and I've been coming up to Curve ever since. I keep saying, I'm not going to go this year. And I go twice a year every time.
Yeah,
it's
but
it's been a lot of fun. It kind of made itself, you know, it grew out of, we really need to help women. There's a lot of boobs out there that need to be supported. How do I do that?
Yeah, because now we were having this discussion about having an experience. And that how people purchase is so different. You can, yes, you can go online and buy something off of a site.
Yep.
But you're not having an experience, and there's a very high return rate and a lot of dissatisfaction. And that's where there can be some very angry reviews. But the issue is that there's no experience.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to a store, and you have an experience, and you have a customer for life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between a store of yesterday and a store of today. Like, it really has to be that experience that you're describing.
Well, and a lot of people say, can I buy all on your site? And they can. I do have a few things on the site, but I always tell them, you can do that, but it's a lot easier to call me and talk to one of the fitters, because we have all of your information, if you've been fit with us, on a card. And
yeah,
we can pull that card out and read it, and read what the fitters have said about how your breasts react into materials, and what are the best brands for you, and then we can make suggestions, and we can send you pictures. And that actually works a lot better.
Yeah, it's very personal. Like, you're taking a medium and really personalizing it.
And it's also more satisfying for not just the customer, but the employee, because they really feel like they're part of,
mm-hmm,
of that
process.
Our employees will tell you that they like being with us because they feel like it's a safe place for them to be, and that they do something that's worthwhile. So I'll keep them for 2 and 3 years.
Oh, that's Yeah, it's doing real work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The tough
and
work.
Is that what the rotation is, do you feel? 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I'm right in the middle of 2 college campuses, mm-hmm. Literally a block on each side. There's a college for creative studies. It's an art school. And then Wayne State University is over on the other side. And I get a lot of people from the universities. And then a few women in my age group, that 40 to 60. And they come and work also. Yeah.
Yeah, but once you're a fitter for life.
Sure.
Isn't that, it's so,
absolutely.
They never, like, even if they leave, mm-hmm. they're always a fitter. I have a friend of mine who would like to get a Winnebago or whatever and drive across country and fit people because that's how she started, and she can't, that's what she wants to end up as, mm-hmm. even though she's traveling, doing different things in her life. It's mm-hmm. sort of the end result.
Well, let her know I'm going to be doing that.
So oh, there you go.
We're calling it the Moving Mountains Tour.
Moving Mountains Tour.
That sounds awesome.
That's awesome. So you guys might be getting calls from me. Hey, I'm going to be in Mobile, Alabama. Can you send 2 boxes of such and such down there, please, to this address? Yes, I promise I'll pick it up.
I totally would do that. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, we have to rethink how we do retail. So what does a great day look like?
A great day, the store's clean at the end of the day.
And you didn't have to stay too late to do it?
Right. Even if they do, if they had customers until after hours, that's fine. Usually a great day is full of laughter and a few tears, and we get to meet new people. So, you know, a great day for us, I guess the bar is kind of low, but we really just like to end the day kind of where you lock the door and you're very, very satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that's a low bar. I mean, I think that's such a real bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do we want out of life? Do we want big fancy cars, or do we want to just be happy and smiling and realizing that we have done something good?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of like the bar of life.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is, like, how do you get through a tough day or a tough moment?
Pie.
Do pie. 3 people walked into one house.
So a tough day might be where you've got a very frustrated customer, right? Or a frustrated employee. And you just have to breathe a lot. Yoga helps. Yeah, a little meditation.
Do you have a daily practice?
Daily? No, I need to. I keep saying, I'm doing yoga this year. That's my thing. And then I try to meditate and I just go to sleep. But I do try. I really do.
Yeah. I breathe to get up in the morning. I have a special thing to actually oxygenate my body. And then I breathe and I'm like, okay, I think I can get up now. Yeah, I'm ready for my coffee. To throw back that double espresso, like, I can do this. I can reach for the cup.
I see all 4 of my animals and get my kid off to school, that's really my morning jolt, is all that fur.
Yeah.
And then the kid, and he's, you know, just going off to do his thing.
Every morning you wake up and you can choose. You can really choose. Are you going to have a great day or are you going to have a shitty day?
I always ask, is this going to be a good day? A very good day? A really great day? Like, I never ask the negative. I just kind of gauge the positive. And that doesn't mean there isn't blocks or negativity in that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're early on and I can get through them, that's awesome.
If you don't have a bad day, how do you know what a good day looks like?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, every day, I feel like every hour changes. So we get to experience it all. There is, you know.
It is a roller coaster.
You have no choice. And if you think it's going to be just blissful walking through a day, it's never that way. Like, my great day is, you know, having, you know, good things and bad things happen. When the bad things happen, solving them and getting through them and being like, I did it. That is a great day.
Yeah. I think that's also something that we're, depending on what your background is, you're like family, that's what's ingrained, right? Like, in my system, it's ingrained, there's a problem, you solve that problem, and that's a victory. Like, mm-hmm. every time that there is a problem, you solve the problem, that's the victory.
And you're probably not doing it all by yourself, right?
Right.
There's all, you have people that you can...
We have a community around
mm-hmm.
us. In fact, I would say that on the parenting side, I have a great quote, which is, you know, it takes a village. Like, that is actually not only on the parenting side, I would say that is on a personal side, too. It's like, it takes a village.
It does.
What would you tell your younger entrepreneurial self? What advice would you give?
Just do it. Just get out of your own way and do it. Whatever it is, it's okay to fail, because in failure you learn. And how bad can it be? Right?
Right. How bad can it be? And I also think it forces you. Right, don't. But it also forces you not to fail, but to problem solve. An issue presents itself, and you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that they see, oh, I failed at this. Or, you know, things happen all the time. We have a bad day. I want to go drink tequila.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to figure it out. And it's never just an on and off switch when something bad happens. It's more like, a boulder going down a hill. It's just doesn't stop very easily. So you have to figure it out.
Well, I took a class with the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses when I graduated. And they make you do this risk assessment. And one of the things that I put down as my biggest issue has come true. Because I rent my space. The landlord sold my space to somebody else. And this new landlord has decided that he thinks I should pay 4 times what I'm paying for my storage closet in the back. Remember from the earlier part? And so I sat back and I had done my risk assessment and said, what would I do? Figure out where else to go was my advice to myself on the pieces of paper that I was reading. I'm like, okay, so I've been given lemons. What kind of lemonade am I going to make? And so what you might not know is that I'm closing the original store in Detroit after I'm opening up 2 more stores in Detroit. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's sad because inherently I'm lazy and don't want to move. Yeah. But I was like, well, there's my risk assessment. And that was my solution. Find another space. Okay.
Actually, I'll find 2. Thank
you
very much.
Double it up. Oh, that's great.
Oh,
look at
that.
It's
all going to work out just fine.
Do you have a favorite phrase or quote that gets you through the day that you would like to, that you could put on a billboard in Times Square and be like, that's my mantra today. That's what I look towards.
Yes. Sophia Loren said, everything you see, I owe to spaghetti.
Right.
And to me, what that just says is, enjoy the pleasures in life. If you want to do something, just do it.
Just
don't
do it.
Sit there and look at the plate of spaghetti and push it away because it might cause you harm. Just eat the spaghetti and then go do the things you're going to do.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Enjoy life. Embrace it. Yeah. And
we got some
tomato
sauce on you.
Yeah,
but, you
that's
know,
okay.
Okay.
It'll wash off.
That's. I mean, there's a lot of them. When Mae West said, when I'm good, I'm good. When I'm bad, I'm really, really good.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you think that being an entrepreneur is nurture or nature or a little of both?
Oh, wow. That's
a good question.
A little of both. I mean, my daddy always said, you'll do better working for yourself than working for others. I do that. My sister's a lawyer, so she kind of does that. You know, she's a partner in a law firm, so she... And my brother was a chiropractor with his own practice. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
I was like, yeah, that sounds like programming to me.
But, you know, I also was the only one that went into the military, which is totally not do your own thing. It's you have to fall into line. But that taught me discipline and that I really could do anything that I wanted to do, You know, we teach our kids, you can do anything. That's a lie.
Right.
You can't do anything. You are limited to certain things, but you also can do anything you want to do.
Right.
You have enough passion to do it.
You can do anything that you can do anything if you work at it.
Yeah, if you work at it, exactly.
It's about the passion and also finding the resources around you, like who compliments you.
Yeah. You have the helm, number one.
Yes, thank you.
I like that you have
the
helm. Now
what is your current favorite indulgence?
What is my current favorite? Swimming.
Oh.
And I say that's an indulgence because it takes time, and time is precious. And so whenever I can get in the water and just swim and be quiet and float in my own way, I love that.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It's great. It feels good. Your whole body feels good. You know, I'm not super athletic. I don't know if you can tell. And my sister's incredibly athletic. She's had new knees. She's got new shoulders. She's still at 56, moving, doing things, rising. She has it in her nature. I saved my joints. I've been taken out on Sunday and driven by your grandma.
Yeah.
So they're in really good shape. And swimming it also keeps everything
oiled.
You know.
Yeah. So we want to thank Nama for being our co-host today.
Thank you for coming. Bye, bye, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Curvy Pod.
Let's continue living above the curve.